Hey, villagers. We have had some exciting new developments lately that we have been sitting on and been so excited to share with you. We have partnered with our dear friends Nate and Gail from the podcast Full Mutuality to create the Dauntless Media Collective. This collective is a network of podcasts created by and for ex-evangelicals and other cult survivors, providing content for people who are evolving beyond the beliefs they were taught and are seeking to deconstruct and decolonize their faiths. We have a growing list of podcasts joining the network, so visit dauntless.fm to find more content like ours. And welcome back to Leaving the Village. I am your host, Jessica Goforth.
And I am your host, Kathleen Reynolds. And today we're just gonna have a little chatty chat of an episode.
And, yeah, we're just gonna say howdy.
Yeah, we're just gonna talk a little bit. We have some more substance coming, I promise. But
we've just had life.
Yeah.
Hit us both, like.
Yeah, we're also tagging this as explicit because Jess just has this burning, undeniable need to swear in this episode.
I was like, please let me swear, please.
I don't really know why.
You'll find out.
or exactly what is going on in her life that is so bad that she can't go like 30 minutes without swearing,
but come on, Kathleen.
I guess it's a good one. So, you know, whatever. I will say, for the first time in my life since I started swearing, which was a very long time ago, I started swearing when I was in college, when I was at Washington Baptist University, like long before I got out of, like, long before I started to deconstruct from Christianity. And so it's been a good, like, I don't know, 15 years. Mm-hmm. And for the very first time, I slipped in front of my parents.
Oh my gosh!
The very first time, this was like a couple days ago, I accidentally said shit in front of my parents, like, without intending to. There are times when I intend to, and I will, like, apologize, and I will say, like, I'm sorry, but this is, you know, what, and then I'll say whatever, like, and I'll say, but this fits, like.
Did the room just, like, suddenly go so quiet?
Nope, it's not anything. Everybody just kept right on looking at their apples to apples cards, and just kept right on, and I was just like.
Moving right along.
I was just like, okay, we're all going to pretend that didn't happen, but it absolutely did happen.
Like, it didn't happen. That's so funny. Oh my God. That's great. That's great. Yeah. Well, I just don't feel like being filtered today. And I've been sipping my little glass of wine over here, and I just am in that mood to not be careful. So I was like, let's just take it off. Let's just not even try today. Kathleen's like, okay, whatever you need.
All right, I'm just filtering whenever. Like, I can turn it off pretty darn well. I work with kids. I have babysat most of my life.
Oh my gosh! Speaking of, one of my twins who are seven, was saying the other day. He goes, something had happened. He was very excited about it. And I think I was going to let them have cereal for supper or something really exciting. And he's like, oh, I want to say a bad word really bad. And I was like, you do? And he goes, yeah. And I said, which bad word do you want to say? And he looks at me for a second and he goes, well, I want to say that something is, that this is so something. And I said, so what? And he goes, so freaking. And I was like, okay, you can say freaking.
That's not a bad word, sweetie.
was like, that's not a bad word. You can say that. He goes, oh, I'm so freaking excited we get to have cereal for supper. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, my God. That's hysterical.
I don't know what these Texas school kid teachers teach these kids are bad words, but apparently freaking's a bad word. I don't know. Maybe we should put up a poll on our listener page. Is freaking a bad word?
Oh, my word. I used to get in trouble all of the time in ATI for my language because, you know, our family was a pretty typical, like, evangelical slash Catholic family when we joined the ATI. And so we, like, and I would say Midwestern Catholic family because, like, a lot of Catholic families on the East Coast will, like, swear a blue streak, like, up and down, right, right. And left, whatever. we said, gosh, we said, freaking, we said,
darn and shucks.
Yeah, we said darn. Yeah, stuff like
shucks
that.
Was a bad word in some of my circles. I was like, shucks is a bad word?
Shucks was a little bit, like, that was more my dad's word.
Or shoot.
Like, it wasn't a bad word. It was just, shoot.
Oh, shoot.
And,
I remember in the training center it being a big deal to say, oh, my word.
Yeah,
because
no,
clearly
exactly.
That word.
Saying, oh my word.
Yep.
I got in trouble for saying oh my word, which was my way of not saying oh my gosh.
Right.
Because that was like my confession for not saying gosh.
Right.
And then we get in trouble for saying oh my, like, oh my word, because my word was like a way of referring to God.
Well, yeah.
And you couldn't say my goodness either because it was the same thing. So you had all these people who would, like, say, oh, my caramel, or all these off-the-wall things. Just because, what else do you say?
I know. And,
like, I knew a few people who said, oh, my stars, but that just felt too, like, new agey to me.
Little Southern, oh, my stars.
And I was just like, no, I, like, there is no reference to God here whatsoever. I'm not, it's literally just a saying. I'm not even referencing God when I'm saying, oh my gosh. It's just, like, an expression. I'm not, like, I understand how and why you don't want us to say, oh my God. But, like, literally anything, any of these other things, like, are you kidding me?
I know.
Oh, and heck?
Yep.
Yeah.
Heck. Oh, yeah. Heck no.
I was about to say, like, what the actual heck?
Or even, hey, what the hey? My kids will sometimes say, what the hey, because apparently their friends whose parents don't allow them to swear let them say that one. I'm like, what's the hey? Okay. All right, guys.
I knew some people who said what because they didn't know what else to say. What?
What the what?
I was just like, okay, this is how language does get absolutely creative and absurd.
Yeah.
Because nothing is acceptable, so then you start saying all sorts of things that just don't even make sense because we're banning idioms that have been around so long, they have literally lost all sense of their, like, original meaning.
All meaning. Yep, so, gone. Yeah.
Like, what the heck? Like, it's not actually using the word hell.
Mm-mm.
So I understand why you may not want your children or people around your children going around saying, what the hell? But what the heck is not what the hell.
No. Doesn't even sound similar. It just says this first word letter. Yeah. I agree.
Or you'll get the really edgy ones. The really edgy ones in the South will just go around, like, not in the ATI, just in general who will go around saying, "What's AJ double hockey sticks?"
Oh, I know. Oh my gosh,
when
that's in that's in the movie Soul. And my kids watched that movie like on repeat for a while, and all these little tiny souls start saying "hell, hell, 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 hell" because they can spell. You know, and my kids are like, they just love that scene, like it's their favorite ever. And then the boys were like, "But what's the whole hockey sticks? Like, I don't understand." I'm like, "Well, what does a hockey stick look like?" And they're like, "It looks like a hockey stick." Sit it up next.
What
and I got out my.
Does it look like?
I was like, I got out my texting, and then I like texted it, and then put the two hockey sticks, and they're like, "Oh, oh, cracks me up." But yeah, yeah, it's crazy. Let's see. Okay, so what is new? So what is biggest new with me is I got a job. Like a real legit job. That has been, this is why I wanted to swear, that has been such a mind fuck. I just cannot, like, and I have tried to talk about this with people who are not cult related, like have no, you know, relation to our cult upbringing, and they really just don't get it. Everybody has a job. Everybody supports themselves. Everybody, you know, like, you have a job. Like, that's it's a thing. I didn't do that, though. Like, I went straight from living with my family, with my parents. I was essentially a stay-at-home daughter before that term became popular. And so when I left home, I left home getting married on my wedding day. Like, that's the day I slept in my own bed at my own in my bedroom at my house, my parents' house, the night before my wedding, and with my bags packed, and I arrived home from my honeymoon to my new house. Like, I'd never lived outside of my parents' house, so I didn't leave home, get a job, pay my own bills, none of that. I never set up a bill in my own name. Nothing like that happened. So when I got divorced at, 42, I hadn't done any of that before. And so it was really new, and I set up my own place, and I got my own, all the bills changed into my name and things like that. And that was crazy and weird. But at the same time, I had kind of had just bills in my name before, even though my ex-husband paid them. Because I was the one who happened to call and set it all up, but
right.
It was a different feeling. It took a long time for that to even set in, but I wasn't earning my own income other than child support. And that was not, it still felt like, I hadn't earned my own income yet. So when I finally landed this job, which is, been a long time coming, I couldn't even talk about it. It didn't feel real. I thought several times about making a Facebook post like, "Woohoo, got a job." And I couldn't do it. I'd like type it out 2 or 3 times. It didn't feel real. It felt like if I said anything out loud, it wouldn't be real. Like, it would go away and it wouldn't get to happen. And I started working and it didn't feel real then. It's a work from home job, but it's, full-time pay and everything. And my first paycheck finally came, and I think I stared at it for like a really long time. And I think it gets really hard for people to realize that growing up in a cult, like extremely patriarchal cult like this, warps even the most normal thing, like getting a job and supporting yourself.
Absolutely. It does. Remember when I got my first like real big kid job, which was, I guess you could say, the only real big kid job that I had for just over a year, in Colorado with Level 3 Communications, not CenturyLink. It was full blown job in the business world, in the corporate world. And it had full benefits. It had, you could actually make ends meet on that if it was just one person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so my parents only had to help me with like a few medical bills, and which I knew like they were always going to have to help me with medical bills because my medical bills were just always ridiculous. But between driving for Lyft a little bit back when Lyft was still like super profitable and you could drive in a weekend and make like $1,500. And then working this job, I actually was doing pretty well, and getting that first job, even though I was well into my 30s, like, yeah, nobody got it. Oh my gosh, I have a real job. I have a real ass job here.
Well, and I needed it so badly too. Like I was getting to the point where it was going to be critical if I didn't start pulling in my own income really soon. And I didn't know the amount of processing and work that Kathleen and I don't really like share as vulnerably as we could, I guess, is a lot. Like the therapy that we do, the hours upon hours of processing trauma that we have to deal with is staggering. And when you go down, you go down. And we don't have any, you know, when we started this podcast, we had, you know, grand plans of cranking out podcasts on a really specific schedule and all that sort of thing. And in the end, we realized that the best content that we create happens when we are both in the headspace that we're able to do it. And if we try to force ourselves to create content when we can't, it just doesn't, it doesn't flow. It doesn't come well. And it stresses us out. And then we crash. And then we really don't get anything out. Like nothing comes. And so we've tried to just hold space for our own place that we're at. And one of the things that has been so hard for me was to add the work part of my life. And I just didn't know where it was supposed to fit. You know, I was already so overwhelmed with kids and just keeping up with life and all of the things that go into all of that. And I got to add this other piece that's 40 hours a week of, you know, dedicated actual mental hard work. And I am so grateful for it, and I'm glad I'm doing it. And there is such a healing angle to it that I wasn't prepared for. But like the day before things actually started, I literally cried myself to sleep from sheer relief. And that was a new one. I've cried myself to sleep a bunch of times for a lot of very traumatic reasons, but that one was a whole new thing. I had never just cried and cried and cried from sheer relief. Like I will be able to be okay. I'm going to be able to do my life on my own. And as crazy as that sounds, which I know it sounds crazy, like I'm glad Kathleen gets it. I'm glad that I have a person at least who I can sit down and talk about this stuff with. Cause like, I felt like a broken record trying to explain it to people. Every time they'd say, "So are you excited?" I'd be like, "It's not real. It can't be real. My brain won't register that it's real." And then they'd kind of look at me like, "But you got the job, right?" And be like, yeah, no, it's mine. Like I have the job." It's just... Yeah.
So yeah, that's... but unless you've been in our situation where, like, employment for us is something that is actually looked down upon and, like, something that's forbidden and something that you just don't, can't, and shouldn't do, like... That's not something that you can.
And it's not something I ever expected to need to do either. So I got married and did the thing that you're supposed to do. And I had a husband that provided, you know, provided, quote unquote. I hate that term now. It's become something that that's just like, ugh. And yet I wasn't ever prepared to provide for myself. That was not what I was prepared for. And if you're not, you're not. I mean, I don't care how much the world tells you that everybody, all the women are working. I don't care how many TV shows you see where everybody gets up in the morning and goes to work. It's still not the same. It's been so hard to try to create my own life and my own ability to care for myself and support myself. And so here I am. And and I have been hard at work in therapy on it. How do I process this good thing? How do I make it feel real? How do I feel like myself still? And this is the process of rebuilding yourself when you've been put in a cult as a child. You don't have a sense of self outside of what the cult made you into. So to create that takes, I mean, we understand that brains are formed by the time, you know, our brain is basically formed by the time you're about 27, 28. I'm 40, almost 44. Like, changing my brain and the way it's supposed to work now is not easy. It's really, really hard.
No.
Other than that, I've just been, it's been getting hot here in Texas. I know you've still had a lot of snow and crazy weather.
Yeah, it's been snowing here. It's supposed to snow here again, which is really unusual here this late in April.
Yeah, it's nuts,
right? Actually, it's fairly unusual here in April, period. It does snow sometimes in April, but it's kind of a once in a blue moon kind of thing. It has snowed here in May, but not since the blizzard in 1978.
Ooh.
So not since before I was born has it snowed here in May. But we're in the middle of April at this point, and it's still been snowing. So
it's crazy.
That's kind of weird.
And we've had 80 degree weather, and the kids have been in the pool already, and it's been like legit hot.
We had one day that got up to 80, but that was it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Anyway. Oh, gosh. Okay. So what else is new? Okay. TV shows you've been into lately.
So since the home edit's back on, I binged that.
Since what's back on? What was it?
The home edit.
Home ed?
Home edit.
Home edit. Oh, I don't know what that show is. Is it reality TV? I don't watch reality TV.
It's an organizing show, Jess.
Yeah, I don't watch that stuff. I don't watch that shit. I get to cuss. I forgot. I don't watch that
thing
shit.
Ever. No. It's the best thing ever.
For those of you who are not watching,
which is... I threatened her with my scissors.
She's got her scissors, like, pointed at my camera.
They're really good sewing scissors, too, so they would do some damage.
Do some damage. Don't come after my show, she says. I'm so bad. Kit has tried to get me into her reality TV shows, and I just, like, I don't like them. I don't like reality TV at all. Everything has to be scripted.
I'm trying to get her into one, and that is Selling Sunset, and I'm sorry, but if you are not into all of the everything that is Selling Sunset, what are you even doing with your life?
I know. I am. I have this character deficiency in me. It is in me. I'm sorry.
I've lost all interest in the Bachelor franchise. I did not even watch one single episode of The Bachelor this last season.
Isn't there like a puppy or a cat in his arms on the cover?
I have no idea. That's how I and out of touch I am with it.
I saw it the other day. I was like, oh, they're going a new route. They tried the kid with the guy with the baby. Now they got the guy with the kitten or cat or dog or something. You'll have to look it up.
And then I also, I watched like halfway through Love is Blind, which
you couldn't pay me enough.
So dumb. And I got over that pretty quick. The first season was much better. And then I started watching this new show that's also like, so Love is Blind, just the premise. It's a reality show by Nick and Vanessa Lachey. And they have the setup where all of these single people come in and they go into pods. You know the premise of it?
Yeah, and they have to like talk through the wall to each other and get to know each other first so they can't see who each other are.
First season I liked a lot better than the second season. The second season just like got way out of hand. So, but now Nick and Vanessa have a new show called The Ultimatum, and they had like these six couples who had been dating for a really long time, and one person gave them an ultimatum of like, we either need to get married or we need to break up. It was really funny because, sidebar, Jess knows this, but most people don't know this. I actually know Nick Lachey's family.
Yep.
His grandpa is just the biggest sweetheart in the world, and his grandma was a very decent sort of person. but she's a little prickly. But a very decent sort of person. And it was so funny because I was watching the beginning of the show last night with my husband, Andy, and I was like, you know, I don't know if she's still alive anymore, but his grandmother would be so disappointed in the show.
That's hilarious.
So hard.
Oh, that is funny. That is funny stuff. Yeah.
And actually, I think there's at least one person listening to this podcast who knows all of everything that I'm talking about. But it was really funny, and I was just like, yeah, she would really not go for any of this. Like, wow. But anyway, it really cracked him up. He's like, I always forget that you knew his family.
That is so funny.
And I just like throw these comments out there because it's like, it's been my whole life, you know? I'm just like always, I've always known the kid from 98 Degrees.
That's so funny. She'd probably be even more disappointed in my addiction to Bridgerton.
Oh yeah, I did just start watching Bridgerton, but I actually put that off because I could take it or leave it, to be honest.
I liked season one a lot. Season two leaves a lot to be desired. I did go ahead and binge the entire thing, and I'm not gonna hate on it, season two, but the chemistry is just not the same as it was in season one. Season one is just sparkles crackles with tension, and it's awesome. But season two is missing some of that, and I don't know. It didn't quite grab me the way that I was hoping. But I did. I binged it.
And then other than that, it's just all the regular shows.
But so that's always fun. But I guess that's kind of it. Life's just, you know, work and routines and trying to get, you know, spring finished. And so that's it. I think everybody's caught up on our excitement on our lives. We do have content coming. We've done some fascinating interviews that are in our queue to be edited and brought forth to our listening audience. Love, yeah. I'm getting dramatic. But yes, lots of fun. And we have other stuff lined up. We are tackling more. Actually, we like have to sit down and like decide like what we're doing next, because we're like, we have so many ideas that it's like we need to pick one and focus there. So, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be finishing up The Handmaid's Tale here
of course.
Soon.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have...
That'll be next. You'll get another Handmaid's
Tale. We have the interview that I did about a month ago with my undergrad advisor, which is just absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Really did a fantastic job.
Super fun.
Which I wasn't... I was never questioning that he would.
Oh, yeah. You've been so excited about that for so long, and it was everything you
wanted. Have you watched it yet?
And more. No, I haven't yet. I've been dying to go in
and
watch it.
You need to watch it.
Yeah, I do. I need to go in and watch it. Yep. So you're coming. We got that coming. We are still here. We are still alive. We wanted to let all of you know that. And just kind of give you some context as to where we're at, where life has been. Oh, we forgot to announce.
Oh, yeah. Like, we forgot the most significant thing in the world. So the biggest thing
we've actually gotten accomplished and worked on. Okay, we're leaving this
because
this is so good.
That's so crazy. Like, we're about to leave and we forgot, like,
The main reason we're here tonight.
Castle in Scotland, like, it's akin to that. And we forgot that. Oh my god, we're such idiots, Jess.
We officially are. Okay, we have been just so excited about this and have actually been doing a lot of work in the background. And the fact that we forgot just cracks me up. But I was able to do an interview with the incredible podcast Full Mutuality, which you will hear an ad from on our podcasts lately because mm-hmm. they are incredible. And I got to do an interview with them and we got to know them through that. And we started having some really fun, like, Zoom conversations and late into the night, laughing our asses off, just having a really good time. They are some of the coolest people, Nate and Gail. And so we were hatching some ideas, talking about networking, working with other podcasts. And we decided to create our own collective, our podcast collective.
Network.
Our network of podcasts that are produced either by us or in... are partnered with us as podcasting partners. So, drum roll, please. We are announcing the Dauntless Media Collective. Yes. So we are rolling out new website, new information to go along with it. And we are adding more content like ours to the collective. It is, you know, along the lines of deconstructing, processing our faith, healing from religious abuse, kind of along those lines. And so, yeah, you have anything you want to add, Kathleen, to all of that?
Just kind of true egalitarianism in life, too, mm-hmm. in general, because I may add a podcast at some point about my experiences with my Ehlers-Danlos syndrome and stuff like that, which... Mm-hmm. on the medical side will be more about like equal treatment and things like that in medicine. So mm-hmm. it won't necessarily have to do with religion, but it does have to do with equal treatment and fair access and things like that. So,
yep. Yeah. So check in with dauntless.fm for more of our content there and links to episodes and all that is on there. So we also have new podcast art. We're so grateful to Nate Nackow for his amazing artwork on our on our
leaving
the village.
He did such a good job with that. We were so excited. we need new artwork, and he was like, done.
Like 30 minutes later, he's like, here you go. Is this all right? We're like, oh my gosh, it looks great. We're so excited.
Like, this is perfect.
I know. It's so perfect. So we're so excited to roll that out.
They're great. And we, you know, Dauntless Media has been a dream of Jess's and mine from the very beginning. Even with that name.
Yes.
And because, like, it's a little peek behind the curtain, Dauntless has meant a lot to me ever since I read the Divergent series, all about trying to live life free from the control of fear. And because when you live a life that is controlled so tightly by religious fundamentalism, it's what your life is controlled by fear.
Yeah.
And that's how they control you, is fear of hell, fear of divine retribution, fear of everything.
The world.
And yes. And so I have, you know, Dauntless, just that word and that idea and that ideal has meant so much to me. And it's not so much living a life without fear, because there's a line in the first book, Divergent, that always has stood out to me, and it's where, if you're familiar with it, it's where Four says to Triss, like, being fearless is impossible. It's not letting the fear control you, which is my paraphrase of it. But it's basically, you know, you can do everything that you can to minimize the fears and to get rid of as many fears as you can. But at the end of the day, you can't get rid of every fear that you have. And to some extent, fear is healthy. It's what keeps you alive. Mm-hmm. It's what keeps you in one piece. But you have to be able to differentiate the healthy fears from the unhealthy fears and allow fear to work in your life the way it's supposed to work in your life, and not allow it to control you.
Because allowing the fear to make you, to daunt you, to keep you...
Right.
It instead of being undaunted by the fear is huge. And so I love that word, because it basically says, I see that it's there. I am now going to not let the fear of it control me, and I'm going to figure out how I want to go on. That is what it means to be dauntless, is to be, to see what is in front of you and still choose your path. And I think that that's amazing. I think it's beautiful, beautiful metaphor.
I am going to stand on my own 2 feet, and I am going to live.
Be undaunted.
As it was intended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to be undaunted.
I see you, but you're not going to control me. So get back there.
Yeah.
I see you. I might even feel you a little bit, but get behind me.
Yeah. Yep. I think at this point I realized that fear is going to be with me no matter what. And I'm going to have to process life with it hanging out there. And I think the more that I become comfortable with the fact that these fears, they're there, they're a part of the soil I was grown in, and then decide how I want to proceed in spite of it, as I think it's just huge. I think that word dauntless just encapsulates that process. And I love it. So, and Gail and Nate loved it. And we have just been so excited to roll out the Dauntless Media Collective and just partner with some amazing content. So.
Yeah. Gail and Nate are amazing. We can never stay on topic when we get together. We're always talking forever.
So much fun. We love them to pieces. And their podcast is incredible. Their coverage of, especially lately, the Hillsong entire scandal is very spot on. And so if you haven't gone over and checked that out, that's your next stop from here. So, yeah, for sure. So that is for real wrapping us up, bringing us to the end. We are so glad that you, our fans, continue to show up and encourage us even when we are spotty with our postings. And we thank you for your patience and for seeing us exactly where we're at. So feel free to drop in on our socials, say hello, and tune in next time when we talk more on The Handmaid's Tale Book Club. Yeah. All right. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.
And that wraps up another episode of Leaving the Village.
If you haven't already, hit subscribe so you get our episodes as soon as they drop. Also, check out our social media pages at Leaving the Village Pod on Instagram as well as Facebook.
We will post behind-the-scenes photos, links to more information, and sneak peeks at upcoming guests. Message us with your stories and you might be featured on a future episode. Also, if you love the show, rate and comment on your favorite podcast platform. It really helps a lot.
Speaking of helping us, just listening and sharing our podcast with others is the best way you can support us. But if you want to do more, we also have a Patreon where you can contribute financially. It all helps us keep bringing Leaving the Village to you. Our show is written and produced by me, Jessica Goforth, and Kathleen Reynolds. Music by Les FM from Pixabay. Cover art by Nate Nackow. Special thanks to our families who are so supportive of this show, and to you, our fans. Thank you so much, and see you next time on Leaving the Village. This is a Dauntless Media Collective podcast. Visit dauntless.fm for more content.
Then I think she endures verbal abuse for a season, and she endures perhaps being smacked one night, and then she seeks help from the church.
There is a pile of dead bodies behind the Mars Hill bus, and by God's grace, it'll be a mountain by the time we're done. You either get on the bus or you get run over by the bus. Those are the options.
There's nothing holy about writing discrimination into the law, and I am tired of communities of faith being weaponized because the only time religious freedom is invoked is in the name of bigotry and discrimination. I'm tired of it.
Hi, I'm Nate, producer and co-host on the Full Mutuality podcast. Let's talk about inequality. It's everywhere. Whether it's rooted in race, gender, ability, or sexuality, there's bound to be an imbalance in power, influence, representation, and access. On our show, we want to explore areas of religion, culture, and society where justice is needed in order to bring about true mutuality. I hope you'll join us for some enlightening, fun, and at times uncomfortable conversations as we envision a world where everyone can live free from systems and structures that keep us from being truly equal. You can find us on your favorite podcast app or visit our website, fullmutuality.com, to find a list of all the platforms we're available on. Subscribe today, and we'll see you on the Full Mutuality Podcast.